Hello friends, Chris here, your friendly neighborhood dungeon master. Welcome to this episode of the Heroes of Havel's Way. If you would like more of this content or a larger chunk of it, you can get that. The first 7 episodes of part 2 of the Heroes of Havel's Way are out right now on our Patreon. You can pick those up by going to patreon.com/thakawa. That's THACOWA. Thanks for listening and let's get on with the show.
In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Havel's Way, 2 childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the Heroes of Havel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
She knows that there is something amiss here, but she is not socially adept to have any clue of how to help.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
I know, I've mentioned my dreams before. I had one that didn't just feel meaningful, it felt important.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Snezak.
Why are we teaching when we're fighting something terrible?
You will not invade my small clothes!
Get it off!
Now, we begin.
Aramon, you hear the screams.
The sword is out immediately, and I turn towards it as best as I can narrow it down.
Here's how we'll cut into this. Odie, you show up at the shore of the fishing farm. You see Aramon in the middle of like 6 mud creatures fighting for his life with a bunch of other militia folk and some of the local constabulary. There's just a wild melee going on down here. There are bodies on the ground. You see somebody get sucked into the mud, like on the ground, just like gone. Boom, just gone. It's just a fight. And there's no organization to it. It's just things are bad. Like, it's just people are fighting for their lives. Things are getting destroyed. People are dying.
As soon as Odie sees one person get sucked down into the mud, she's going full on starry form. And at this point, leaning towards doing Archer because that gives me the attack. But it would basically be Celestial Form and then the bolt of arrow, you know, Celestial Arrow at the first mud monster I see. Probably the one posing the most danger to Aramon.
Yep, sounds good. Make a roll.
Oh, you I'm going to use my luck to reroll.
Sounds good.
14?
Yes, the hits.
That'll be 9 points of radiant damage.
You fire off this blast. It slams into the mud slurg that's near Aramon. It explodes, just dead. Aramon, you've already killed like 4 of these things. They just keep coming out of the ground. Polk is fighting not too far away from you. There are other people all around. Monty, on your shoulder, Odia, is like, what do we do? Should I just stay here? Should I get in there? What are we doing?
If I have the moment, I would reach out and touch Monty and give him his buff.
Is your starry form a bonus action?
It's wild shape.
Isn't wild shape a bonus action?
I believe so.
Yeah, so you can't, you'll have to wait till next turn.
Hold on, Monty.
Okay, I won't just go in there. Aramon, there's 5 of these things. One of the bolts of energy that comes flying out hits the mud slurg next to it, and the mud slurg like looks down at the bolt in its chest and then it explodes.
I will yell out to everyone. Everyone, take heart, my friend is here.
And they all look and see this glowing person in the back flicking bolts. And then out of the sky drops a hawk that turns into a hippo and starts rampaging around, like blasting mud creatures and whatnot. It is your turn. What are you doing?
Well, he doesn't really have a handle on spells per se at the moment. So these are fuel for his smiting. Anything that looks large and intimidating, he is going to swing at it, and if he makes contact, he is going to put all of his effort into calling upon the Dreaming Veil to smite it with radiant energy.
Sure. It's mostly just these mud creatures that are around you currently. Although, your divine sense, there's something in the water coming.
That is not good. I think there's something coming, Leo.
What do you mean there's something coming?
I just sense something else in the water. It's something worse than these.
Worse than these? That's not good. Ah, men, form up! Somebody else gets sucked underground.
I am trying because I have formed this bond with Leo. I'm staying close enough that if I can use my interception style to defend him when I, you know, on my reactions.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. I mean, the mud monsters haven't gone yet. They go after Leo. So it is your turn.
All right. So the longsword is coming out. That is a 23 with the longsword.
Yes. Yeah.
Turning on the smite. That is 13 radiant and 9 slashing.
It'll explode because your radiant damage causes these things. You guys' radiant damage causes these things to explode when they die. It basically does more damage to them.
He sticks the longsword in towards the bottom of the torso and pulls it up towards the center. And once it gets up to the center, the light pulses through it and blows it apart.
Yeah, as it pulses through, you see the outline of the skeleton that helps congeal the mud around it, and that illuminates before it explodes outwards.
And then I would like to follow up with my hand axe.
Sure.
And that is a 14 to hit with the hand axe?
Yes.
That is actually only going to be 6 points of damage from the hand axe.
So you slam your axe into it, it cuts through, you manage to yank it out before it gets stuck in there. And the slur just keeps advancing at you. There's only 4 more of these dangerous things around you and Leo at this point. Leo then turns and he swings back and forth a few times. Oh man, he rolled a 1. His sword gets stuck. Yep, totally gets stuck in one of the slurs. He's like, oh, that's happened again. He loses his sword, pulls out a couple of daggers. He's fighting with daggers now. This is offhand attack to attack. Slashes a few times with the daggers, manages to hit and actually do damage to the one that you hit. He does 5 points of damage to it, which is not nearly enough to kill it, but it looks pretty messed up. Like, the skull is now showing and chipped apart. Maybe if you destroyed that, it could potentially take that mud slurg down. It is now the mud monster's turn, though, and the mud monsters are attacking people. They do not make a lot of progress on the militia and the other people as a whole. You only see, like, another, like, one person go down as the militia people are doing a very good job of beating back these mud slurg. There are the ones that are fighting you, though. No, that's terrible. That's a terrible roll. That's another terrible roll. How about a 17?
17 is 1 more than my armor class.
So it slams you for 3 points of bludgeoning damage. So it hits you with its arm and mud starts swarming up and around you. You can make a DC 11 strength or dexterity saving throw to remove the living mud. You've had this happen to you before. You're used to it. It's trying to get in your small clothes again at the beginning of your turn. It's a free action at the beginning of your turn. That's all of the mud monsters. Odie, you see the water start rippling about 30 feet from shore. There is something moving from the water towards the shore, and it's going right towards Aramon.
What Odie's going to do, Odie reaches out, touches Monty, gives him his buff, so he has his starlight claws, and she tells him, don't do anything stupid. Keep yourself safe, but do help how you can. And then she's going to cast Moonbeam on some of the slurgs that are attacking the group. And she's going to try and cast it in a place that's not going to hurt any of the militia. Get maybe a couple of the slurgs.
Yeah, there is a group of these mud slurgs that are standing in the back just hurling mud balls at people. That is a perfect target for it.
Then I will get them. And I'm also going to shout to Aramon as this Moonbeam shines down and covers those guys. I'm going to shout, there's something coming.
I will mechanically tell you what that does so you actually understand what your thing did for the group. There is a period of time where I roll to see how the rest of the people are faring against the mud monsters. If I was going to roll a 1 through 10, it was good for the good guys. If I was going to roll 11 through 20, it was good for the bad guys. That has now shifted to being a 1 through 14 is good for the good guys because you just helped a lot by dropping a moonbeam on all those slurg, which could have an effect when this giant monster comes out.
Yes.
So what is your moonbeam? Your moonbeam is a giant beam of moonlight, right?
Yep.
It just annihilates them. Like, they're like, ah! They all just melt into like a pool of mud on the ground that the living mud then tries to wiggle into the ground as hard as it can to get away from the moonbeam as it just leaves the skulls and the bones of the people that were holding it together behind. Monty dodges into the melee. Uses his bonus action, dashes in there, goes right up to Aramon to help support Aramon. You can make your attack for Monty if you want.
Okay.
He gets +5 to hit with the Monty Starlight Claws. He does a d6 plus his dexterity modifier and damage. It's radiant, or it's magical, I should say.
He got a 14.
Yeah, that hits.
I mean, it's radiant damage, not slashing damage, but you know what I mean.
Tis magic damage with the Starlight Claws.
Yeah.
Which is still useful. Magic damage doesn't do double damage to these things, that's why, unfortunately. You see Monty dash up Aramon to the one that you hit with your hand axe and Leos slashed with the daggers a couple of times. Monty jumps up and claws it in the chest a few times, and it just rends apart, and it falls down to the ground, and then he, like, kicks its skull a few times, and you can't hear what he's saying, but he's like, stupid thing, die! I mean, you just hear...
I would salute, except that I am being overtaken by mud at the moment.
It's true. You see the hippo just rampaging through. Not super effective, though. It tries to stomp a bunch of the mud slurg, but as it stomps on them, they just kind of pop back up. I rolled pretty bad for their attack roll, for Dowie's attack roll. Aramon, it is your turn.
Let me reroll that strength save now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10 this time.
You get a luck point of luck?
No, I do now because I failed to save.
Yep. You still got this mud on you. It sucks.
All right. Is that going to hinder me hitting it with the longsword any?
Yeah, all your actions are at disadvantage.
All right. So I will attempt to stab down into it as it is oozing around me.
Okay.
And that is a 7.
No, you fail at stabbing it. Actually, you stab it like in the shoulder, but like it's just the mud comes flicking off of it and slides to the left as the mud on your arm pulls it to the right, so you don't really get a good solid hit on it, just a glancing blow. Not your fault. It was great form, but that mud on you just decided to, like, mess up your form. You want to use your hand axe now?
Yes. I don't have anything else I can use my bonus action for.
I will tell you, is Lay on Hands a bonus action?
Not yet.
Okay. If you laid on hands yourself for this mud, it would get rid of the mud if you used 5 hit points worth of it.
Okay, so it's an affliction that I can get rid of. Okay.
Yeah,
I will do that next turn.
If you don't succeed at getting it off of it, because you get to roll at the beginning of every turn.
And that is a 9 with the hand axe.
Yeah, that being at disadvantage blows. And this mud is just like trying to rip you apart. Like it's getting into your small clothes now again. It's terrible. Leo gives a good slash with his daggers. He actually crit also. Oh, good job, Leo. Unfortunately, crit with the offhand dagger. He tears into one of these slurg, but it doesn't kill it. Like, he just doesn't have enough power with these daggers, right? But he gives it a good hit, and he actually stabs it right in the skull, and the dagger gets lodged in there for a second before he lets go, and then he, like, no, give that back, and he grabs it and rips it back out. Oh, no. Even with your moonbeam, I rolled a nat 20, which is bad, because if I rolled high, the bad guys get to do more, get a bit of an advantage. Even with your moonbeam, you see farther off, a little bit farther down the coast, another group of these slurg come out and start just launching. There's like 12 of them as like a unit just come out and just start launching mud into the militia, and the militia gets beaten back. Some of them get covered in this living mud. One of them gets sucked right under the ground right away. It's like, no, Jami, Jami. He's like grabbing his hand. He's getting dragged down. Like, no, come back. Also with that, right near Aramon, like 15 feet away from Aramon, a slurg, a mud slurg, a giant ooze that is huge, and I mean the category huge, comes out of the lake, wrecks part of the fishing fence for the fish farm with it, and is like dragging it along with it as it just comes out like the blob, slurking up the shore and making its way right at Aramon and Leo. Odie, what do you do?
Odie is going to move the moonbeam to try and deal with that platoon, the group that came out of the water, while she fires one of the arrows at the huge creature.
Sounds good. Is your arrow a bonus action?
Yes.
Awesome.
But it goes wild. But the moonbeam does cover.
They failed, and they just get annihilated. 2d, you can roll your 2d10 radiant damage if you want, but that whole unit just gets blowed up. In fact, why don't you tell me how your moonbeam, moving your moonbeam, annihilates those 12 people?
The moonbeam shifts across the muddy shoreline, illuminating the chaos as it engulfs the group of slurgs that just came out of the water. And they all just make these gurgling screams and dissolve.
Nice. As long as I don't roll for the next group roll, an 18 and 19 or a 20, then the militia and the other people have overcome the slurg that are there, and they can assist with fighting this giant mountain slurg, essentially, this mud monster ooze slurg, this living ooze, I suppose, living mud pit. Monty. Monty looks at you, Aramon. But then, out of nowhere, just appearing next to you, is Silfaria. Monty goes, Silfaria is standing there now next to you. She says, Monty doesn't think that it's a good idea for him to fight that.
Probably not. That he is probably wise. And I'm like still like throwing mud off of me as it's oozing through my arm.
Yeah, right. Monty takes a slash, but he's kind of distracted by the giant mountain of mud that's coming at him. And Aramon and Leo and now Silfario. And he runs away. He uses his action to dash and he dashes back towards Odie. He gets to you, Odie. He's like, I don't think it's a good idea for me to fight that.
No, it's not.
Okay, okay. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
You should just sit on Aramon's shoulder and help him.
Okay. What if he gets sucked into the thing, though?
He's not going to get sucked into the thing. He's the hero.
You've read too many books. Anyways, he starts running back towards the towards Aramon. Silfario. Silfario rolled terrible. I rolled a 9. Silfario tried to blast one of these slurg with water. It did not work. It was like a water blast right in the slurg's face and missed terribly. Sorry. I will try better next time.
It is fine. We appreciate any little bit that helps.
Leo, on the other hand, the one that he had hit a couple times, he manages to kill it.
Good for Leo.
Hit it twice with 2 daggers. Slashed it. And then he's like, I got my sword back. Thank God. Aramon, go ahead.
First, I'm going to attempt that strength save. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're good.
That all of the crusty mud, I break out and then kind of shimmy the rest of it out as best I can.
See a little mud like wiggling away from you on the ground. It is really disturbing because there's just like a lot of living mud like on the ground moving all over the place. The whole ground is like animated in some way, shape, or form.
Has Monty climbed on my shoulder yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
He's going to come back to you. He ran away.
Because I was planning on charging the huge thing, because I'm hoping that if I intercept it and start fighting it, it won't keep moving forward.
You can, absolutely.
So I am going to charge forward towards it, longsword in hand, and attempt to cut a huge blob of mud somewhere where it will actually make a difference. Yeah, that would be a 9 in that case. So no.
That is correct. That is a no. Tell me what it looks like when you fell.
I think it's just a matter of being very confused about where to strike it. I'm looking at like anywhere that looks like a larger concentration of mud because I figure, you know, I've fought these before. If I pop the bubbles, it just kind of falls apart and it loses some of its mass. And I just keep slashing and can't find a pocket that will actually pop and come loose.
Nice. So you do that. You try and you try whatever you can. You try to pop that pocket. Nothing comes loose. And then it uses its legendary action, which is called Run Over. And it moves 15 feet right over you. Make a dexterity saving throw, DC 13.
I would like to spend my 1 point of luck.
All right. Tell me how you dodge out of the way of this thing as you see it surge forward to try to engulf you.
You know, I make that swing. I take a step back and then I see it lurching forward. And I look for like a little bit of a divot in the ground. And I roll into the divot as it flows over the top of me and then roll out the other side.
It's really disturbing. Actually, you roll into that divot and then you have to roll to the side too because it goes. The mud eventually goes into the divot, right? Like maybe it covers your foot just a little bit. You manage to shake it off and then you pop out as it moves past you or moves next to you because it only moves 15 feet. Multiple faces, like hollow-eyed, hollow-mouthed faces start appearing on different parts of it and they speak out.
You dream I will eat you. For Valmore is the mountains dry. I will kill you. You will not stop us.
This thing is after you.
All right, then.
Nope. One of the mud he uses hits Leo. Leo doesn't take much, but he's covered in mud. Another one tries to hit Silfaria. Misses Silfaria. Silfaria dodges out of the way. Is the group check. With your moonbeam, and using that as part of your strategy now, Odie, as some of them are organizing, some of the militia leaders and constabulary are organizing, they're using it as part of their defensive stance to fight against the slurg, fighting a retreat around the moonbeam, luring them around it, using that to like box them in, push them into it. They have managed to subdue the majority of the slurg, and now they are moving in to help fight this giant mud monster. So all of you have the help action when making attacks against the giant mud monster. Odie, it's your turn.
That includes Odie and her arrow.
Yep.
Basically going to keep the moonbeam where it's most useful. And then that's going to hit. So 9 radiant damage on the...
giant monster?
The giant monster. It's up to you whether or not you say yes. I don't want to use this for any mechanical advantage, but I imagine when Odie is in full starlight form, there's a slight bit of levitation.
Yeah, that's fine.
So she's floating a little bit in the air as she's flinging these starlight arrows and directing the moonbeam around.
Yeah, it's a little unsettling because you're only like a half an inch off the ground floating around. And wherever the ground is, you're only like a half an inch over that. Right? So like if you float forward, like you go down and up and whatnot, but you're still floating. It's really cool. So you get the effect that you want without the mechanical stuff that goes along with it. Your arrow hits it, and the impact is palpable. Like, there's an explosion, and a chunk of it just goes flying. Some of the faces start looking at you. You hear them whispering and yelling out across the battlefield.
Starlight elemental, elemental, starlight elemental, starlight elemental,
you must not exist.
It's kind of like that, yeah.
Return to the depths from which you came.
Oh, that's what you're saying to it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Monty runs up, uses his dash action, jumps on your shoulder, Aramon, as you're standing up next to this thing. I was like, I don't know why I'm here, but it's a terrible idea. Not that you can understand that.
You're right. We should be able to take this out in a few moments. It's not a problem. I like your optimism.
Man, oh, God damn it. And he slashes at it. Oh, you can roll. All the people are like flinging spears, shooting arrows, doing everything they can.
I'm assuming 12 probably doesn't hit it?
Does not hit it. So Monty, being like, I'm just going to stand here, and he like half-heartedly swings his claws at it as Aramon's like swinging around. Would you just stand still for a second? Of course, you're like, we can get him. I mean, whatever you're saying to him. Monty's like looking back at you, Odie. He's like, I'm trying. He's moving around so much.
Just support him.
The hippo runs right into the mud thing and tries to like bash it with its head, like smash it in the head. It does. It's not go super well for the hippo. I did not roll particularly well. I've made a lot of bad rolls with her, but it's in the way of it's a big old hippo in front of a gargantuan slime monster mud thing. So you know we're you know, there's a lot of stuff going on now. It's now its turn because it hasn't gone yet. It attacks three targets within its range. Three separate targets. That's Monty, that's you, and that's the hippo. Do the hippo first. No, it's a terrible roll. This die sucks. No, that's a 19 for Monty. You want to interpose?
Yes. What that does is I roll 1d10 plus my proficiency bonus. That's what I subtract from the damage that Monty would take.
Okay. I rolled max damage, but Monty would take 15, so roll high.
So that is 11 that I take off of that.
Well, that's good, because that means Monty only takes 4. He's got 18 hit points, so, you know. More problematically, you interpose yourself. I'll let you choose. Do you want to be covered in mud, or do you want Monty to be covered in mud?
I'll take the mud.
All right. So you interpose yourself. You get a bunch of mud covering you. A bone flicks out and it clocks Monty right in the side of the face, and his eye starts swelling shut. But you are covered in mud. You have half movement, you have disadvantage on strength and dexterity saving throws and ability checks. Not your attack rolls, though.
All right.
It takes an action to clean off the mud.
Okay.
If you want to get rid of it. No saving throw, anything like that. Just an action. Gets rid of it.
Is this an affliction I can take out with 5 points of lay on hands?
Sure, but I mean, the 5 points of lay on hands is an action too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I was just clarifying, so yeah.
Totally is. Yep. Absolutely is. You just don't have to worry about it.
Gotcha.
Unless you wanted to use it to get it off of somebody else so they can do something else.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Absolutely. It is living mud. Not quite as living as the other stuff. Not in the same way. That's what it does. It only gets one action. So, you know, it attacked you 3. Oh, it's got to attack you still. That's 23, so it probably hits you too.
No.
There's some people in some of my other games that have armor classes that are around that high. That's 7 points of bludgeoning damage. You get slammed. You also have mud on you again, but it doesn't matter. You still have mud on you. There's no extra mud.
All right.
So all of those faces that are screaming out, all of a sudden, like, there's bludgeoning tentacles that flip out, like little mud spears, essentially, that aren't sharp, just like for like punches. You block some of them. You keep Monty from getting hammered really in the face. He almost gets his head knocked off, essentially. And you find yourself covered in mud. And the mud's not the same, but you are slowed down and you feel like you just can't move as fast. It doesn't help that there's mud all over the place that's around and on everything. It is your turn now.
All right. I am going to plant my feet and then just shove the longsword straight in, hoping that I hit something that feels like I can smite it.
Seems reasonable.
And we have advantage, correct?
Yep.
That is a 21 to hit.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Smite, 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 smite. Don't smite like that.
I rolled terribly for my smite. I got a 1 on one of them, but that is 9 and 7. 16.
You stick your sword into this thing, and then there's a radiant, sparkly explosion. Tell me, what does it look like when you're... Because your radiant magic is also from the land of dreams.
I shove the sword in deep enough and then kind of trigger the smite, almost like an explosion inside there. And I think the smite is almost like a fluorescent, like pink and purple and, you know, hazy dreamlike colors.
Nice.
It's kind of muted inside the mud, but you can see those, you know, like this purplish pink light inside as it goes.
Yeah, and there's like this expansion, and then it all spews out one of the face holes just whoosh into the sky. Monty looks at it. Whoa, that's cool. That's exactly what he says. Like, it was a cool breeze on my face, cool.
Is the monster still up?
Yeah, it's still alive.
I will take a swing with the hand axe now.
21 hits.
As long as I hit, I'm going to burn my last spell slot and go ahead and smite it.
That's a better smite.
So that is 12 radiant and 6 slashing.
All right, let's go with the bloodied reaction that I just hit. So you hit it with your axe. Same thing, right? Except instead of like sticking your sword inside and having it explode out, it's just an explosion inwards and concavity explodes into the side of this mountain of mud and faces and whatnot. When that happens, it starts screaming. It pulls in on itself and it gets a bit taller, like it's sucking in. All of the mud in the entire area pulls into it. Everybody, make a DC 13 dexterity saving throw or strength saving throw. Your choice.
I'm at disadvantage, so that's a 5.
And that's an 8. Monty doesn't have to roll. He's basically using yours because he's... I'll have him roll because he could jump off. Oh, Monty saved. No problem. Silfaria has to roll. Silfaria saved. That's good for her. Leo's got to roll. Leo failed. Bad for him.
And Odie is a ways back. But...
You are a ways back, but you still get pulled in a little bit. You're outside of it, so you're all sucked in. You fall down, you get sucked in. You're prone for the moment. People that are next to it or within 20 feet of it, which is not Odie, that failed. So Leo is. He's not that far away from it. And Aramon, you are sucked into it. Right into the mud thing. All the mud just like pulls you right in. You disappear inside of this thing.
All right.
What that means is at the beginning of your turn, so you are grappled. You are not restrained. You are grappled. You take 1d8 damage at the beginning of your turn from being suffocated by the mud crawling down your throat and your nose and your ears, things like that. And you have disadvantage on all strength and dexterity d20 rolls. This is a DC 13 ability roll to escape as an action. In this case, you can use your lay on hands. I will let you use your lay on hands as part of your roll to give yourself advantage, which will just make it a straight roll.
Okay.
So instead of having to roll a disadvantage, you could just make a straight roll of the DC 13 if you spend 5 points of healing. Because this stuff does not like your energy that you have emanating off of you. But Leo gets sucked in too, and that's bad for Leo. That was its bloodied reaction. So it is now Leo Polk's turn. Leo's going to try to get out. Oh, he got out. Leo pulls himself out of the thing. he like, you see an arm, Odie, pop out of the thing, and you're hoping it's Aramon, and the dagger then stabs on the ground and pulls himself out, and it's Leo, the other guy with the mustache.
I would love it if narratively, Silfaria could basically reach out and give him a hand and help pull him out.
Absolutely. That's exactly what happens. As Silfaria helps pick Leo up off the ground, she blasts this thing right in the face with some water. All over Silfaria. She's not super tough. She deals 6 points of damage to it. And 6 points of damage is better than no damage. She blasts it with water, and she helps Leo to his feet, and they both walk away, get away from it a bit. That's Silfaria's turn. It's the actual like mud monsters that were fighting people. They're actually not as much of a problem because of what happened with the thing, so we're just going to get rid of them.
They probably all, any of them that were left and hadn't been wiped out by the moonbeam, just got sucked into... The behemoth.
Now, some of them did. There's still other ones fighting too, right? Like the few militia members that are off to the side fighting them, trying to keep them off the main force. They're trying to kill this giant mountain of mud. But yes, a lot of them did get sucked right into the giant mountain of mud. It's Odie's turn.
Can I say that I move the moonbeam? So first of all, she's going to scream, Aramon! And then the moonbeam moves to like try and hurt the monster, the behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
But... on a side that is not where Aramon went in.
I will let you do that, and I will have Aramon roll a... Just make a d20 roll, and as long as he doesn't roll a 16 or higher, he doesn't get hit by the moonbeam, because you're not sure exactly where he is inside of this thing. That's unfortunate.
That is a 16.
Can I use a point of luck to subtract a die for a point from that on him?
Yeah, I'll let you use a point of luck for that, because this is being lucky, right? That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, because I'm into it. Something recently.
I'm into it. Aramon, you were inside of this creature, right? Like trying to fight your way out. All of a sudden, there's like this burning light, like right near you, and you're like, it almost burns you, but it just stops before it hits you.
And then I'm gonna shoot an arrow at it.
I'm gonna make a saving throw real quick. Constitution saving throw.
Constitution.
I failed. Roll 2d10.
9 radiant. Not the best roll, but not the worst.
You guys do double damage with your radiant spells, though, against these things.
I'm assuming a 12 doesn't hit it.
It does not. A 12 does not hit this thing. Get a luck point. Enjoy your luck point. Tell me about the moonbeam.
Odie screams as she sees Aramon sucked in, and the moonbeam almost moves without her even thinking about it to try and hurt this creature that has subsumed her friend. And it is just hovering over that side of the creature, because the creature's huge.
It is huge.
The moonbeam is like covering the backside of it, and it's just burbling all of the mud as it burns it with this celestial light.
Yeah, it is in fact screaming. I assume you stood up too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you move away from it?
Move a little bit further back.
All right, that's good to know. Because it's got a legendary action, which it's going to use right now. Are you done?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got a legendary action. It's going to move 15 feet forward, right? It's going to try to subsume a bunch of people. So it means it's going to try to roll over Silfari and Leo again. It's trying to get to you now. It's moving towards you. Oh, that's a fail. That's a pass. Oh, man, that's not good. Monty failed.
No.
Monty!
Anybody want to give him a point of luck?
Yes.
All right. This thing surges forward. Silfari dodges out of the way. Monty is looking right at it like, uh-oh. And he tries to, like, jump, but, like, his foot gets stuck in the mud for a hot second. How does your luck expenditure help him get out of the way?
The clouds part just a little, and he gets the light of the stars on him for just a moment as they glow even brighter as Odie is there in her starlight form.
Fries up the mud a bit?
Yeah.
Nice. And then it crumbles, and he barely gets out of the way as it tries to roll over him. It's not really trying to roll over him. It's coming towards you. So you move 15 feet forward right at you. And roll for Leo, too. He's safe. It moves forward. It doesn't roll over anybody as it's moving towards you. It's Monty's turn. Monty's like, screw this guy. Go ahead. You can roll your attack roll. He's going to try to claw the ever-living love out of it.
Just a 12.
Just a 12. That's unfortunately a miss. Monty claws at it, but it just doesn't grant any purchase, or maybe he's afraid of it. I don't know. What do you think?
There's probably a little bit of fear there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Monty goes to like, screw this, and he like takes a step forward. He's like, nah, never mind. I don't want to. Plus Aramon's in there. I don't want to hurt him. That's why. I don't want to hurt Aramon. That's why I'm not doing it. Aramon, you get battered around a bit by a hippo.
It's like a reverse hungry hippos.
I know, right? The hippo escapes. It comes right out. Aramon, give me a dexterity saving throw at disadvantage real quick.
All right. That is a 9.
That's unfortunate. I was going to have you grab onto the hippo and get out of the thing, because that would have made sense narratively. Mm-hmm. But no, not so much. It's actually its turn now, finally. Aramon, you've been having a bad time right now.
Uh-huh.
Aramon, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to hit you while you're in there. It's just going to move as far as it can. By the way, Monty can make an opportunity attack if he wants.
Nope.
All right, everybody else is a little bit too far away, so it's moved a bit away from them. It's right next to you, Odie. It moves right up to you. It doesn't attack you yet or anything like that, but it's right in front of you. Just you, little Odie, in your starlight form with this giant mud mountain in front of you.
Dream of starlight, Aramon, so he'll kill you. You should not be here. No.
Aramon, it is your turn.
All right.
You were just grappled. First off, hold on, buddy. Take a D8 yep. worth of damage.
Hey.
See? Good on you. You're choking, but not badly. It's in your face. It's in your small clothes. It's everywhere. Ugh. It's not great, but it doesn't hurt that bad.
He knew to close his mouth.
All right. So I'm going to spend the 5 for the lay on hands. Is this a strength check or can I use athletics?
You can use athletics. It's an ability roll, so it's strength athletics.
All right, then.
You have escaped. Tell me how you pull yourself out of this thing.
I think my hand finally like reaches the what I think is the ground, and I grab onto a root that I feel that's kind of sticking out of the ground, and I just kind of like pull myself forward as it oozes forward towards Odie, and then just pop out the backside of it.
Nice. So you're out the backside of it.
As a bonus action, I would like to burn my channel divinity to turn it into a spell slot.
Sure, no problem. That way you can smite again.
Yep.
I got you. What does it look like when you do that? I always gotta know.
He closes his eyes and pictures some of the dreams that he has had, and it just kind of like flows out in this kind of misty purplish pink around the symbol that he's holding, and then it just kind of flows around him.
Yeah, and Silpharia and Leo and Monty all see this. This hazy purple and pink and almost impressionistic energy flowing around you before it sinks back into you and you're sparkling a little bit. Whoa, that was weird. Silpharia says to him, the dreamer has touched him. He is strong with her power. Leo gets to go. Leo runs up on this thing, attacks it from the back. Get out of my town! Oh, I actually hit it. And he hit it with his offhand attack, too.
You gotta get Leo a magic weapon.
I know, right? Leo stabs it a few times, does 6 actual damage to it. Leo stabs it a few times, he's just hacking at the back of it. Stands right next to you, Aramai. He's like, get up! Yells at you. Continue the fight!
I'm getting up. Give me a second.
Silpharia runs up and tries to blast it in the back. Her water is ineffective. Odie, it is your turn. Odie, you're pretty sure this thing's getting ready to surge over the top of you.
Yes. Odie, basically, luminous arrow to the face. So 6 radiant damage. And then she's going to do an ice knife to its face.
I passed the dex save. I don't know how I did, but I
did. Can I move up? Can I move back? Or is that going to provoke?
It'll provoke.
Okay, then I will stand there.
You throw an ice knife at it. It just eats the cold. Like, just eats it and puts it in the ground, right? And it surges forward. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Nope.
It engulfs you. You are inside of it. You hear all the voices around you. Starlight Elemental, no, you will not be our leader ever again. Monty freaks out. Go ahead, make an attack roll for Monty. He's like, give me back my Odie! Good roll.
That's going to be 8 slashing damage.
Tell me how Monty kills this thing.
Monty goes at this thing like it's a paper bag with garbage in it. He just leaps at it and starts clawing it to get to Odie, rending the mud with the starlight glow of his claws.
And eventually he gets to you. And when he has gotten to you, the thing is screaming out. Eventually, it falls apart all around you. And Monty is there trying to claw the mud off of you that is on you as you're lying there on the ground. And he's like kind of on your lap. Like, you can't get eaten like that anymore. Don't do that to me anymore. I don't know what nobody else can really talk to me.
I'll try not to do that anymore. And she just lays there for a minute. The starlight is gone. She's just laying there flat with Monty sitting on her chest, staring down at her.
Monty's like nuzzled.
You're fat for a raccoon.
Whatever. You like it. It's warm at night.
It is. I need a bath.
Yeah, me too. I'm gross.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Heroes of Hovel's Way. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. If you'd like to interact with us, you can join our Discord. There's a link to join it in our show notes. We talk about D&D and other fantasy gaming stuff there along with other topics. If you want some more, you can be a patron. Being a patron, you can get the first 7 episodes of Part 2 as one large chunk right now. Join for free for 7 days and stick around for $5 a month. I'll be releasing our episodes early there in larger pieces going forward. We also have PDF content of GM tools like Jared's layer action piece and things you can use in your games like stat blocks for the Slurg and magic swords from Jared. I also talk about the game there, The Heroes of Hovel's Way, in a GM podcast called Chris's Hovel. Check it out at patreon.com/thakawa.
That's patreon.com/THAC0WA. The Patreon helps us make this show and Thaka with Advantage. Speaking of patrons who help us out, I would like to thank David Ridout, Matea the Sorceress, the Polish Ogre, Doug Rass, and Victor Wyatt. Last thing, we're part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network. Great show on there is called Pandas Talking Games. It's where Phil and Senda take questions from the listeners and answer them, like card talk, but for your game. Thank you once again for listening, and beware Valhalla Morris and his slurg. They just love getting in your small clothes.